You're a wizard, Harry. Whatever the fuck time of day it is that you are listening, welcome to Shrek Attack. I'm Brandon Shrekengoss, the host that should not be doing voice impressions, as you could tell by me trying to be Hagrid in the beginning. You should know what I'm talking about today from that intro, though. I'm talking about the announcement that we are getting a Harry Potter series coming out on Max in 2026 as the set date that they want to aim for. Gives me another reason to live. For like another couple years, actually like another 12 years, because they said that over the next 10 years after they start the first release, let me just put this down here and start over, sort of. They are going to hopefully hit the release date that they set for themselves of 2026, and then over the next 10 years, because the movies took 10 years to fully release, they are going to create a series of shows, 7 seasons long. Each book is getting its own season in the Harry Potter universe, which is awesome to me. And I know a lot of people are like, how dare you stand where he stood? Or, you know, I should not be doing voice impressions. How dare you stand where he stood? Harry Potter, like a lot of people are saying, like, if it's not Daniel Radcliffe, if it's not Emma Watson, if it's not Rupert Grint, they aren't going to watch it. If it's not Tom Fennell playing... Tom Fennell will probably come play something. Like, he'll be the new Snape or something. That dude still lives every day like he's a Harry Potter... I mean, he is a Harry Potter star, but, like, he's the biggest Harry Potter fan, where everybody else has kind of moved away from it. I think Rupert Grint also holds on to it a little bit. However, each book is getting its own season over 10 years. Which is huge. I've always said that books cannot be turned into movies too well, because especially books as long as the Harry Potter series, you just aren't going to fit anywhere from 300 to 900 pages into an hour and a half. It's not happening. And they did this thing in the last movie where they split it into 2 parts. It was cool. It worked. The movies are iconic. The movies are great. And I will never turn down watching the movie. I will watch the movie multiple more times than I read the books, because reading is not like fun for me. I'm trying to do it more, but I still am not that great at it, I guess. That's kind of embarrassing to admit as a 32-year-old man. It just doesn't catch my interest the way the movies and the visuals do. I've always been more of a TV series guy, because you can really put a load of detail into television series if done correctly. Now, I know a lot of TV shows will put like 5 to 6 episodes of filler in their season, and then they get too carried away with their filler episodes, and then at the end they're like rushing towards the end of the season to get everything in like 2 episodes. Spread that shit out. Spread that shit out. We'll do great. There's not a lot that I can talk about, because they literally just announced it. They're just like, yeah, in 2026 we want to drop this shit. No casting, no nothing. J.K. Rowling is heavily involved in it, and something that could be interesting is that she says, and I honestly don't recall her doing it in the books, she says that she has never given any of them ethnicity or like color or anything, so we could hypothetically have a black Harry Potter, which I'm fine with. I'm sure there's a lot of people in America that'll be upset about that because of the way people work. I'm not going to get too into that. The way I see it, it is a fictional character. So even if she had him established as white male in the book and wanted to change him, it's J.K. Rowling, the creator of Harry Potter. Even if she had him as white male in the book and wanted to change him to black transgender male in the TV series, go for it. You're the creator. He's a fictional character. People will be upset. But I'm sure it's J.K. Rowling. He's not going to be trans. let's be real. That's just the way I see it. Like, what? It doesn't hurt. Get the story in there. What does not matter, like, color and stuff does not matter in this situation. We can't be upset about that. Because we are going to get a more diverse cast. That's how it's going to be. So if you get upset about that, you get upset about that. We're done. You have more things to worry about. I fucking promise. So what's something that we can talk about? Because I can't just cut us off here at 5 minutes. Like, hey, Harry Potter vs. Nance, that's your podcast later. Subscribe, do whatever, leave a review, Shrek Attack, woo! Nah. What I'm going to go over are some things that I would like to see in the TV series that is in the book but did not make the movies. Or some, like, major differences that were in the movies, but, like, that's not how it was in the book. Like, for example, Ginny is actually really fucking cool, but the movie makes her kind of really lame. And I don't know how to describe it. She's like a super shy girl in the movie. And in the book, she's actually like super confident and really capable and cool. I'll get there later. This will be if you have not read, this is going to spoil the books for you, which will end up spoiling the TV series for you, because the TV series is supposed to be closer to the books than the movies were. So if you don't want to go further, I understand. Also, it's not coming out for 2 years, so you'll probably just forget everything I told you by that time. Why don't you just stick around? You're going to learn. Harry Potter's been out for fucking 15, 20 years now. So if you get a spoiler, like, that's on you. That's really on you. Now, I'm going to go kind of in order of the way I'm looking at things, mostly because I have a list that's in movie/book chronological order. So I'm not just going to jump around. I have a list here. It's on a website, Oprah Daily. I wasn't ready to read Oprah Daily. Oprah Daily has a list here of things, and I'm just going to go through. I'm not going to pick every single one because it has, like, character description to actor description differences, but there are some things that are kind of a big deal in the book, which one of them is a character description, that I'm not going to say that Rupert Grint's appearance was, like, not exactly how it was supposed to be to Ron's. We're not going to cover that, but we will cover the first thing, that Daniel Radcliffe had blue eyes, and in the books, Harry Potter's to have green eyes, which is kind of a big deal because he looks so much like his father, except for his eyes. He has his mother's eyes, and they were supposed to be green, but Daniel Radcliffe was allergic to colored contacts, which is why they were blue in the movies. I think in the TV series, they will go with green eyes, because it was supposed to be kind of a big deal here that Harry Potter has his mother's eyes, which are very, very green. Another appearance thing I'm going to touch up on, just because it has to do with Hermione, is she's supposed to have extremely bushy hair and large front teeth. Emma Watson did not, which the bushy hair thing is kind of whatever, but the large front teeth, she ends up magically reducing in one of the books. So that's just an appearance thing that I think they could do to demonstrate later that she does have some magical prowess to alter her appearance. The movie never mentions, it's such a simple line that they could throw in there. The movie just never mentions that the motorcycle that Hagrid delivers baby Harry on is Sirius Black's. And it's just a simple line. Hagrid, you know, Dumbledore goes, "Where did you get the bike?" Hagrid goes, "Oh, off Sirius Black." Boom, done. In the films, they never mention that. And it's an important detail. It's foreshadowing. In the book, Harry actually speaks Parseltongue at the zoo to a python. In the movie, it's a boa constrictor, and he speaks just normal. Which, I guess, is just to reveal it, save it to the reveal in the second book, which is more during the Chambers of Secrets, which is more kind of important, because that's where people find out, but why not just have him speak Parseltongue in the first place? Like, people who read the books know. I guess the movies back then weren't as separated from the books, and Harry Potter was not as big of a thing, so it may have been for the audience, but I don't know. It's a small thing. Draco Malfoy and Harry met in Diagon Alley, and Harry rejected his friendship there in the book, But in Hogwarts, in the movies, they meet at Hogwarts right before the Sorting Hat ceremony, which is something small. But I only mention it because the Sorting Hat does sing a song before every ceremony, except in the books where he never does. He's legit, or in the movie. In the movie, he never does. I'm stumbling over everything. It's 1:30 in the morning. Fuck you. So in the books, he sings a song before every ceremony. In the movies, he never sings, which I think could be a cool thing if they decide to do that. Also, in the Sorcerer's Stone, the scene where Voldemort, you know, or Quirrell gets killed. Voldemort kills Quirrell, but Harry kills him in the film because we want our good guy to be a killer. I don't know. By touching his face, too. It's very, very, I think in the TV series, they'll have Voldemort kill Quirrell the way he's supposed to. And it's just Voldemort leaves the back of his head and Quirrell can't live without him because fiction. Now we can move on to the second book, The Chamber of Secrets, where it's a lot of the movie is holding the audience hand, I feel, or simplifying it because certain actors were not available on some days. And there's a short list of things here, but they are just kind of different. And in the book, Mr. Weasley fixes Harry's glasses in Diagon Alley. Hermione doesn't fix them, which I think in the movie that might be in it's the beginning of the second movie. It is in the beginning of the first movie because she's making fun of Ron for that stupid turn your fat rat yellow thing. So it's in a completely different area than it's supposed to be. Mr. Weasley fixes Harry's glasses in Diagon Alley instead of Hermione. It just gives Mr. Weasley more of a, you know, fatherly feel to Harry, as he had him and Molly have more of a parent feel to Harry than, you know, the Dursleys. In the movie, Hermione is well aware of what a mudblood is and is quickly offended by it, where in the book, she actually has no clue, and Ron comes in to defend her. And this is like the first Ron-Hermione real, like Ron sticks up for her and Hermione's kind of like, ooh, Ron. You wouldn't know that. Because in the movie, she just kind of was like, yeah, Ron, you're a fucking idiot, but I love you anyway, towards the end. Just fuck it. I mean, it's nitpicking, but it's one of those things where Ron helps Hermione out early. Like, Ron is so much more capable than he is in the movies. Everybody, alright. In the movies, Hermione is really the only capable witch, where Harry, Ron, Ginny, like, literally everyone is so much more capable than they are in the fucking movies. The movies just kind of dumped everyone down for some reason. I will never understand. And so, everybody is cooler in the books. Maybe it's because they have more of a chance to be fleshed out, but, like, whenever you read the books, I'm a Cho Chang guy. I ship Harry and Cho Chang, but I don't know. I'll get to Cho later. The movies never explain that Mr. Filch is a squib and has no magic. I think the audience is able to put two and two together there. It's like the one instance in the movies where it does not hold the audience's hand. It's kind of an important detail that he's a squib because it's a secret he doesn't want out. But the twins kind of spill the beans in a way. They suggest how to find that out. I don't know. Maybe it would be hard, but in the TV series, it needs to be mentioned. Also, in the TV series, we're going to have to go to the books on this one, because the messages that the Slytherin hair is leaving is written in blood and not paint. I think it's kind of silly that they change that, because Harry Potter is a dark world. There's a reason the movie beginning opening sequence before the movie starts, the W.B. Warner thing, gets darker and darker because it's a dark ass series. Harry Potter is dark and gritty. The reason I like DC Comics is because it's dark and gritty. Everybody's like, Brian, why do you like Harry Potter? It doesn't really seem up your alley. Harry Potter is so much more dark and gritty than it comes off in the movies, which is, I mean, it does come off pretty dark and gritty towards the end, but it's so much more dark and gritty than it's given there in the movies, because the movies don't have enough time to cover everything that fucking happens, and so much happens. In the book, during the third book in movie, Prisoner of Azkaban, the Night Bus picks up Harry after he sees the Grim, which is just Sirius trying to find him. And Harry in the movie is just Harry. I think they're even like, oh, you're Harry Potter. But in the book, he pretends to be Neville Longbottom. They have no clue who he is. And there's so much. Like, the night bus is just... The movie really... I don't have enough time to go on that rant. In the movie, there's a choir. A Hogwarts choir. There's no choir in the book. Once again, it's just the fucking hat should be singing. In the book, Sir Cadogan's portrait replaces the fat lady after she's attacked by Sirius Black. I don't believe that happens in the movie. On the big screen, it's never shown that Harry wins the Hogwarts Quidditch Cup. In general, the movie does not cover Quidditch enough. I will get into that in the beginning of the next movie as well, which we are almost there. The film doesn't explain the origin story of the Marauders, which is... You know, Harry's dad, James Potter, Sirius, Remus Lupin, and Peter Pettigrew, who are Prongs, Padfoot, Mooney, and Wormtail, are the Marauder's map and Lupin's connection to the Tricking Shack. All very important details just kind of left out of the movie. I think it's one of those things that you're just kind of supposed to know for some reason, because, you know, Harry gets the map and he's like, Prongs, Padfoot, Mooney, and Wormtail something welcome you or whatever. They want to show you this map. Who the fuck are they? The movie doesn't explain. The movie doesn't do like a flashback or anything or like give the. Oh my god. The movies are great. Like I said, I'll watch the movies any day of the week. There's just so much that they could have done that is wrong. Also, Harry was joined by Ron and Hermione in the book when he eavesdropped on Fudge's Leaky Cauldron conversation, which he just kind of does on his own. A lot is left out, and then he goes and finds them. I think that's the scene where they're doing like the snowball stuff. I don't think that's a hugely important detail. And then there's something at this list on fucking Oprah Daily doesn't even mention, where Sirius gets Harry the new broomstick. The Nimbus 2000 is broken, I believe, by the Whomping Willow at some point. And then fucking Sirius gets him the Firebolt. And it's not the very last scene like it is in the movie where... Oh my god, that scene too. This is fucking important news. Sirius Black, who they find out is, you know, his godfather, gets Harry a Firebolt. A fucking Firebolt. That's like the best broom there is. And then he uses that Firebolt to win the Quidditch Cup that they just gloss over. They don't even mention it. I mean, I guess they do kind of hit in the movie like, oh, I wonder who it's from. I think I know because Hippogriff Feather. There's a lot to go on with the Hippogriff too. We don't have that kind of time. I'm trying to stick to the list that Oprah here is giving me. That way I don't go on this huge tangent of unorganized thoughts. Percy Weasley's job at the Ministry and the betrayal of his family is not in the film. Percy is hardly in the film. Percy is a twat waffle. Didn't think I'd ever use that term in my podcast, so thank you, Elena, for hanging out with me too much. Dumbledore calmly... Oh, this is big. Dumbledore calmly... Calmly... I don't know why Oprah is skipping something super important in the beginning, but Dumbledore calmly confronted Harry about putting his name in the Goblet of Fire, where in the movie he is like super, Harry, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? Like, he's so fucking pissed. And Dumbledore doesn't get pissed. Dumbledore is always the epitome of calm. And another thing that's not on this list, but we're going to go on my brain's tangent. The Quidditch World Cup is just not fucking, like, shown at all. They have the entrance. They don't mention... What's her name? The fucking house elf. Twinkie? I want to say. Which is also not on the list. Like, the list doesn't even care. Why am I using this list? This is 65 major Harry Potter book versus movie differences. And it doesn't even mention fucking... is it Twinkie? I gotta look. It is Winky. I was right the first time because I know Harry Potter better than fucking anybody ever should. And I didn't even win the Harry Potter trivia that I went to. Oh, man. Speaking of characters that aren't... I'm going on a fucking tangent now. Speaking of characters that aren't in the movies, I'm just going to go down through the fucking list right here because I have it now. Charles Weasley! One of Ron's brothers aren't in the fucking movie. Peeves, the fucking poltergeist, who is a huge part of the fucking book. He does so many things. You would love Peeves because he gets rid of she who shall not be named. Ludo Bagman, not in the movie. Bertha Jorkins, not in the movie. Cuthbert Binns, Andromeda. Ted Tonks, Hestia Jones, Marietta Edgecombe, Winky, as previously mentioned, Marlene McKinnon, and Phineas Nigelis Black. Not all of them are important characters, but like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I would say 6 of them are rather important and should be in the movie. Be glad that I'm going to go back to the Oprah list, because if I stay on Harry Potter Wiki, we'll be here all fucking day, all fucking night. I will do a 48-hour, probably at the very minimum, of differences that need to be included in the TV series that the movies did not include but are in the books. Back to one of those characters that were omitted from the fucking movie, Ludo Bagman. He was the head of the Department of Magical Games and Sports, and his character was combined with Barty Crouch's, which is why he's kind of an important fucking deal. Because Barty, I can't really just get into this whole fucking logistics things. In the books, it explained why Rita Skeeter was able to leak so many stories, and it's because she is an unregistered animagus, and she can turn into a beetle. I do believe there's a scene that hinted towards it, but another one of those things where the movie didn't hold the audience's hand, and it was an important detail. For like, the movie holds the hands on the dumbest fucking things, but does not get the important details. Hermione created Spoo, which is honestly a trip, but it's the Society for the Promotion of Elfish Warfare, and it's never mentioned in the movie. And during any good Harry Potter trivia, it should be mentioned of, you know, what is Spoo? But the one I went to didn't have it, and I was fully prepared for it all night. I knew addresses and birthdays and stuff, but, you know, it's fine. Everything is fine. So, in the movie, Neville gave Harry the Gillyweed for the second Triwizard Tournament. And I guess that makes sense because, you know, Neville is kind of super into plants and it wouldn't make sense for him to give it to him. However, in the book, it was Dobby, you know, another beloved character who gives Harry the Gillyweed. I don't understand why they switched that unless it was to make Neville more prevalent and maybe use less CGI budget on Dobby, I guess. I don't know. Not really important. Another thing that I know I did say I wasn't going to mention looks too often here, but Voldemort has red eyes in the books, and he is a lot more sinister looking as opposed to what we got on film. A lot of people, I guess, are pretty used to how Voldemort looks on film, but yeah, he was supposed to be a lot more menacing looking, a lot more sinister looking, red eyes and more snake appearing than just not having a nose. And then after winning the Triwizard Tournament, Harry gave his winnings to Fred and George so they could start their joke shop, Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. And that's just not mentioned in the movies at all because fuck it. Now let's move on to the fifth book and film. Quidditch is not featured at all because Quidditch is just never fucking featured in the films for some reason. And it's such an important thing in this one because Ron is named Keeper. And then Professor Umbridge, who was She Shall Not Be Named earlier, banned Harry, Fred, and George from Quidditch. Ginny, who is lame as fuck in the movie, plays Seeker in the books to replace Harry, and she's rather fucking good at it. Another person who plays Seeker is Cho Chang, and Harry goes on a date with her in the book, but not in the movie, and they actually were, like, a pretty good fucking couple. The film doesn't, like... Hagrid told Harry about the Thestrals in the book, because Hagrid is the Care of Magical Creatures professor, and needs to display that he knows what he's doing. However, in the film, it just has Luna Lovegood tell it, And don't get me wrong, Luna is a great character, but Hagrid is just doing his motherfucking job, and they decide not to do that in the movie for whatever reason. I know this seems like a minor detail, but, like, you just, whenever you read the books, you understand the characters are all so much fucking better for different reasons. Hagrid doesn't just go, oh, I shouldn't have told you that. Oh, I shouldn't have told you that. I mean, yes, he says that plenty, but the dude knows shit. The film doesn't show the full extent of Snape's worst memory, which involved Lily Potter and the Marauders and a little bit of fucking bullying, more than, you know, was shown in the movie. And Alright, well, this is where... This is something that really upsets me as a Chao Chang shipper. She spills the beans in the film. She doesn't do that. It's not her. She's not a bad guy. She is actually, like, she's so fucking cool. She's so fucking cool, and I still ship her and Harry. Marietta Edgecombe in the book is who is the snitch or whatever the boil will spell out on the forehead of the person who told. So, Chao Chang is not as guilty as the films make her out to seem. I don't know what the films have against Chao Chang, or, you know, most characters. Another small detail that is not mentioned in the film, for whatever reason, is Ron and Hermione are prefects during their fifth year. You'd think that'd be, like, a major detail, but no, just the movie says fuck it, it doesn't matter. They're Harry sidekicks, fuck it. And then, of course, the fifth movie is the one where they dive into the prophecy a little bit more. And it's Professor Trelawney's prophecy, because she's like a real prophet. That just seems like a quirk. The prophecy says the Chosen One will defeat Voldemort. Born to those who have thrice defied him, born as the seventh month dies. It could have also applied to Neville Longbottom. A lot of people know that these days because of the internet. However, back whenever the movies came out, Longbottom was just some dweeb, dork dude who just happened to got cool enough to use a sword in the final movie. Like, he knew about plants, and other than that, he was a klutz. And it could have been him that the prophecy was referring to. It just so happened to be Harry Potter, because that's who Voldemort ended up choosing to have go after him. Moving on to the sixth book and movie. Harry Potter inherited 12 Grimmauld Place and creature in the book after Sirius Black's death. However, they never wanted to use it because Bellatrix is also related to Sirius, and they thought that she could somehow get the deed from being in, I don't know, in the will some way, shape, or form, even though Sirius specifically leaves it to Harry. And that would be another great trivia question, you know, what's the address and did Harry inherit from Sirius, you know? Why did they not use it after Sirius's passing? In the book, Bill and Fleer are living at the Burrow planning their wedding, and Fleer clashes with Mrs. Weasley quite often. That's never mentioned because they're off-screen characters and aren't important, but maybe they'll be a little bit more important than the TV series. And after Draco leaves Harry unconscious on the Hogwarts Express, Luna doesn't find him. Luna does not find him. It's actually Tonks that finds him and gets him moving on. But, you know, gotta give Luna more stuff to do in the film. Like I said, Luna is a great character, but, like, Tonks does nothing in the films except but maybe change her face into a pig once. Voldemort's entire backstory is removed from the films, which you'd think that would be a cool thing to include. Like, his entire family backstory, why he is the way he is, seems pretty important for a villain, but, yeah, you know, once again, fuck it. And then all that time that's they aren't playing Quidditch in the movies, they're doing stuff like having Death Eaters attack the Burrow during Christmas, which never happens in the books. I accidentally clicked back to the wiki, and by accidentally, I mean totally on purpose, because I remembered maybe someone attacking during the Burrow Christmas scene, but nope, it was totally just, you know, in the movies for some reason. However, I did see more on Chao Chang. That's what ended Harry and her relationship, is her best friend snitching on the Dumbledore's army, even though she was under the truth serum, the verbatim, or whatever it's fucking called, the truth potion thing that makes you tell the truth. So, you know, it's kind of just bullshit. Harry and Cho forever. Something not mentioned in the movie, even though, you know, it kind of makes sense. Fenrir Greyback is in the movie. Fenrir seems like a pretty good fucking name for somebody who's a werewolf, let alone the werewolf that changed Professor Lupin into a werewolf. Like, he's the one that bit him. He's the one that turned Professor Lupin into the werewolf, and the movie just does not care about this information at all. It's just kind of... Whenever I'm going through this and I'm looking at this list, like, I knew there was a lot of shit left out of the movie and a lot of shit the movie did that just was made no sense, but, like, it kind of hurts whenever I'm going through it all at one time. Speaking of Fenrir Greyback, he also bites Bill Weasley in the book as well. But, you know, whatever. Years earlier, here's a fun little fact. Why is the Defense Against the Dark Arts position cursed? Why can there only be a professor for 1 year at a time? Well, potentially, it's because Dumbledore rejected Voldemort's application for it, and then Voldemort cursed it. That's just a theory, but it's something mentioned in the books that's not in the movie. And we're going to go on to Ginny and Harry's relationship now, because they're in a relationship most of the Half-Blood Prince. It's just not really shown too well in the movie. But you remember that, like, awkward kiss scene they had where I think Harry was, like, tying his shoe or something, and then Ginny kissed him, or and there was slobber, and it was really fucking gross and awkward? Not what happened. So during a school Quidditch match, or I think after, while they were celebrating a win or something, Harry and Ginny had their first kiss in front of the entire fucking school. It wasn't this little secret thing, this little secret peck of slobber. Like, it was kind of a big deal. And Ginny was fucking cool because once she was the Seeker, she's actually really fucking good at Quidditch. She was the Seeker whenever, you know, Harry was banned. And she, like, I can't explain enough how cool the characters are in the book as compared to the movie. Another thing that was not explained during the Half-Blood Prince is why Snape calls himself the Half-Blood Prince. It's because he's half wizard, half muggle, which I'm sure you guys figured out, but his mother's maiden name is Prince, and that's where Prince came from. Like, that's just not explained. You guys just think he thinks that highly of himself? Nah, it's a dedication to his mother. Let's get into the final book and the final two movies. Harry's farewell with the Dursleys is just completely cut out of the film. I mean, it's a deleted scene that you can find, and I will cry every time when I watch it because it's kind of really touching. But the film said, fuck it, not important. You know, the growth of Big D is just not... Why would we include that? Why would we include that? Dudley thanks Harry for saving his life and does not think he's, you know, lame. So, big character growth, just omitted from the movie. Fuck it. Remus reveals that Tonks is pregnant with the birth of their son, Teddy. Not the Ted Tonks omitted from the film, but I guess Teddy is also not really mentioned in the film too much. Ted Tonks was her father, and Teddy is her son, and Harry is the godfather. Not mentioned in the film whatsoever, though. Harry and Hermione do not dance together in the tent in the books like they do in the film. That's just another added scene that took away from the amount of Quidditch they could have played. In the novel, Harry discovered the message on the snitch soon after he received it, but in the film, he had to go through, like, a mystery to find it, I guess, because he's not as smart in the film as he is in the book. In the book, and I'm fairly certain this is not in the movie because it's probably just too gruesome for big screen. I don't know. I mean, it'd be cool if they put it in the TV show, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't include it because it is technically suicide, which is frowned upon in the everything, which I don't want to touch on it too much, but Peter Pettigrew dies in the books after being, you know, he refuses an order, and he has that hand gifted to him by Voldemort, and that hand chokes him to death. Yeah, it's pretty fucking brutal. So it's technically a murder because Voldemort's hand forcefully does it, but it comes off as suicide, and yeah, pretty gruesome. Dumbledore's entire backstory just kind of gets skimmed over in the film. You know, from his friendship with Gellert Grindelwald to the tragedy of his sister Ariana. It's just not detailed that well in the film whatsoever. I don't... Dumbledore's, like, a super important character. I don't know why they just... Fuck it is the main reason for this I've come up with. Percy has a redemption arc in the film, or the book, I guess. He's pretty fucking present in the... Like, he's there. He fights in the Battle of Hogwarts, but in the movie, he just really... He was there, and he was a prefect, and he was kind of douchey, and he disappeared. I mean, he was kind of a big twat waffle, but he had kind of a redemption towards the end there. Just none of it mattered for the movie. Hermione and Ron's first kiss is in front of Harry after they destroy a Horcrux in the book. Not in the Chamber of Secrets. Although the Chamber of Secrets bringing people together ever since the Chamber of Secrets was open. That's where Ginny and Harry secretly fell in love. Don't let anybody tell you differently. That's made up. I know I'm being pretty serious most of this time. That part is made up. Harry breaks the Elder Wand in half at the end of the film. And depending on who you ask, there are some people who think this is more symbolic. In the book, he used it to fix his wand. Makes sense. And then he returns it to Dumbledore's grave. And I just think this is much more like, Dumbledore was a mentor to Harry, and I just don't think Harry would just snap the wand that he believed belonged to Dumbledore all this time. I get the idea that breaking the wand makes it so, like, no wand is better than any wizard, but it's Dumbledore's wand, man. It's, like, return it to his grave. Then Oprah does mention a few missing characters, and there's something else I wanted to point out. James and Lily Potter, whenever they died, were just 21. Oprah mentions this in her webpage. And two other notes that I will get to, but there are things I already said. James and Lily Potter, Harry's parents, were 21 whenever they died, but they were portrayed by much older actors. Same with Remus, Sirius, Peter, who would have been around 32 when they were first introduced to Prisoner of Azkaban. Yeah, that math adds up. That math adds up, because if they died whenever Harry was 1, they were 21, about 10 to 15 years later, whenever he meets everyone else, yeah, they'd be in their lower 30s. I like to think I don't look as old as them, but nah, maybe I do. I have gray hair. Especially in my beard. It says that Potterheads have long complained about how Ron was portrayed. And like I said, he was a lot more capable in the book than he was in the film. And the film used him as a comic relief very often. And kind of made him... I don't know how to explain it. But a lot of intelligent moments throughout the books were given to Hermione on the big screen. There were a lot of Hermione moments that were actually Ron moments. And then it says that fans also felt that Ginny was dealt a disservice in the films. She is much more outgoing, vivacious, and dynamic in the books, which I agree with 100%. Like I said, she was so much cooler in the books. Great disservice given to Ginny. As well as Cho Chang and everyone else in this fucking movie. The films are great. The films are great. Iconic, absolutely. Do not touch the books, though. And I don't, like, it makes me think that I should read more books that movies are based off of. I just, once again, a 32-year-old man that sucks at reading. However, you know, I will stand up for this one whenever I say I understand why people say the books are better than the movies. Yeah, absolutely. No contest. And I'm hoping this TV series is able to capture a lot more that was in the books than the movies were able to. And is a lot more accurate. I don't care how diverse they want to make the cast. Just make the story more accurate to the books. And I'll be a happy camper. That's all I have for today. Thank you for listening. If you would kindly rate the podcast. Share it with a friend. Especially if you think that friend will enjoy it. Hit the share button on Facebook. I do have an issue on Facebook. Where my personal account cannot share my Shrek Attack account. So I don't know if you guys can share my Shrek Attack account. Wow, that's a sense. My Shrek Attack account. Wow, tongue twister. Say that like 5 times fast. I'm not doing it right now. You can do it on your own time. Let me know how it goes. But if you try to share my Shrek Attack statuses that have my episodes in them and you're not able to, please let me know. Because I'm going to, like, I've looked into it a little bit, but, like, I couldn't figure anything out. And it's going to be something I'm going to have to probably go to, like, help the customer help of Facebook for, which is going to be fucking miserable. Let me know what you're looking forward to most with this Harry Potter, can we call it a reboot, TV series? And, you know, rate the pod. I already said rate the podcast and stuff. If you want to follow me on social media, all my personal ones are at The Real B-Shrek. That's at The Real B-S-C-H-R-E-C, just like the podcast spells it. Shrek Attack has a Facebook, an Instagram, and a TikTok. If you try to look up my personal social media and you cannot find it, I'm not on whatever you are looking on, because that's my username for everything. So, Shrek Attack has Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, personal one at The Real B Shrek. It's 2 in the morning. I'm fucking tired. I need to go to bed. I have a dentist appointment in the morning. I have fucking work. That's a 17-hour shift and all this fun stuff. Yay! Love you all. Bye. Hit the fucking music. Yeah. I sound like I'm on drugs, but I promise you, it's just lack of sleep and a shitty work schedule.